What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
If you were here last week, Pastor Paul talked about it. He did a phenomenal job. And I'll tell you what is not a secret. What is not a secret is that there are certain topics that, honestly, it really doesn't matter how well you articulate or how well you communicate it, that when you bring it up in church, people just start acting a little weird. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Don't y'all be acting crazy. There's just certain things that y'all know that when we bring up in church, people start feeling a little awkward, okay? Let me give y'all some examples, all right? Some of those things include money. Mm-hmm, yeah. Sex. Oh, snap. Some of y'all got red. It's okay. And the Holy Spirit. Honestly, I can keep it going. But y'all know, like, even when I said those words, y'all started looking around like, oh, can we talk about that in church? Well, I'm going to just let you know, they talked about it in the Bible. Guess what? We probably should talk about it in church. Can I get a good amen? And lucky for you, I'm not going to talk about money or sex, but I am going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. Come on, somebody. That's what we're going to do, all right? So I'm so pumped about this because even though people get awkward about it, when I look at scripture, like when it comes to the gospel, guys, it is impossible. I want to repeat, impossible for us to separate God, the Father and the Son from the Holy Spirit. There's just no way you could do it. Like, even when you just look at scripture itself, when you look at the gospels, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when you look at it, literally, did you know that there's only four things that is included in all four of the gospels? There's only four things. Like, let me break this down because there are some things that are recorded in two out of the four gospels. There are even some things that is recorded in three out of the four gospels, which makes sense because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels, right? But there's only four things that are included in all four gospels. Do you know what those things are? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And what is the fourth thing? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's included in all four gospels. That's so significant that I actually don't want y'all to take my word for it. I actually want y'all to see it for yourself. Okay. On the scripture, they're going to show you this slide. This is where it is recorded in all four gospels. Matthew 3:11. It says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark 1:8. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This he they're referring to is Jesus. In Luke 3:16, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, he whom will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There is no way around it. It is all over scripture. Matter of fact, it's so interesting. When we tell people when they're first approaching the word, where do I start? Where do we tell them to start? The gospels. A lot of times we lead them there. Start there. Because I'm going to be honest, if you get to Genesis and you get to Leviticus, it get kind of like, wait, what's going on here? So we say, go to the Gospels. Isn't it significant that in the Gospels, out of all four, that the one thing that is recorded in all four is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, which is so significant to our faith, right? But also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we want to continue because Pastor Paul, he did, like I said, a phenomenal job of opening up this subject. But this morning, I would love to take it just a little step further because I want you to understand that this isn't just a concept that we need to be okay with talking about, but it's an experience that you can have. It is an experience that you and I can have. And so we're going to take this morning and we're going to lay a foundation for what not only the Apostle John put such intentional emphasis on, but Jesus Christ himself put such emphasis on it. Now, I woke up and I was very aware where I was headed to, because if you don't know, we got three campuses. All right. We got Mansfield. We got Stonewall. We got Manny. I was very aware that I was headed to the Stonewall campus. And let me tell you why I love this campus. One of the big reasons why I love this campus is because we have so many people from so many different backgrounds. And the Lord has brought us all together for such a time as this, and we get to honor the Lord together. How sweet is that, right? Sometimes I look up and I'm like, how did I get so lucky? Like, these are the people I get to do life with. But how many of y'all know, with all those different backgrounds, the worst thing we could do is approach this with a closed mind? I'm gonna say that again. With all those different backgrounds, it is so vital that we don't just come to this with a closed mindset, and that we actually, and here's where I want to encourage you this morning. Can you be open? Can you be open? Okay. And I want to be very clear. I am not asking you to be open to me. All right. Some of you are meeting me for the first time. You're like, I don't trust you. I get it. You just met me. I get it. Right. I want to ask you, can you be open to the Holy Spirit? Right? Listen, all we're going to do this morning is we're going to go over a ton of scripture. And can we do one thing? Can we just let the scripture speak for itself this morning? Come on, how many of y'all know we don't need to add or subtract anything away from the word? It is alive and is active. Come on, somebody, sharper than a double-edged sword. And I believe that he wants to speak through it. All right? So y'all ready for this? I say, y'all ready for this? Okay, let's do it. Okay. So the first thing I want us to do as we approach this subject is I want us to use three words, okay? Most of these words, every single one of us are going to be very familiar with, okay? These three words are number one, salvation, number two, water, and number three, spirit, okay? Salvation, water, and spirit. And I want you to think of these three words as three different baptisms, okay? Three different baptisms. Now, before you start getting weird and you're like, oh, she's speaking heresy, let me break it down real quick, okay? When I say three different baptisms, the word baptize, when you look this word up in the Greek, it comes from the word baptizo. It basically means to immerse fully and completely. That's all it means. So that makes sense when we say water baptism. What happens? You are immersed fully into the water and you come back up, right? And so I want you to see these as three experiences that the Lord wants us to fully experience, to completely encounter. That first one being salvation. And this one, whether you say that you are saved or not, whether you say that he is your Lord and Savior, most of us are familiar with this word salvation. The reason why, we in the Bible Belt, okay, right? We all know about being saved, right? And so based off of this word, if you look at scripture, when we experience salvation, when we are saved, scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, he baptizes us, or basically fully immerses us into the body of Christ when we're saved. And I didn't come up with that. That's scripture, all right? I want you to look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:13. What does it say? For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. So when you get saved, we get immersed into the body of Christ. We're made new, right? I love what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old has passed away, right? The new has come. And I love it. When we get saved, we are made perfect. I love the way Robert Morris breaks this down. He says we are perfect, not by performance, but by position. Right? So it doesn't mean I get perfect and I never mess up again. But my position as daughter, when I become saved, I am one with Christ. He is my Father. And it changes everything. It changes everything about my position with him. Right? So that's the first encounter. I think we all are aware of that one. But then I want to take it a step further. That second word I told you was water. And most of us are very familiar with that term, water baptism, right? Most of us have seen this happen, seen this occur. Most of us have experienced water baptism. And based off of scripture, when we experience water baptism, a disciple baptizes us in water. Again, we see this represented in scripture. In Matthew 28, we all know this as the Great Commission, right? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. When you look this up, it's talking about water baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's telling all of us that we can go and baptize other people. So basically, you don't have to have a pastor to baptize someone. And we've even seen this here. All you need is a disciple. We've seen fathers baptize sons. It's been some of the most beautiful experiences before. I remember when Brother Buster, he baptized his grandson. It was such a beautiful experience, right? This is a public declaration of an inward transformation, right? We're telling the world the old is cut away and I'm walking out and I'm following Jesus in this baptism, right? But then there's that third one, all right? And this is the Spirit. We call this the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And according to scripture, in this baptism, Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not coming up with this, all right? I want to read this in scripture. This is John the Baptist, and we've already referenced this scripture, but I want to read it in full. Matthew 3:11, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me, this is John the Baptist talking, will come one who's way more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. He says, listen, when you encounter this baptism, Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We often acknowledge the first two baptisms very easy. Like, I want you to get saved. I want you to get water baptized. But when it comes to this third baptism, like, we tend to avoid or just outright just not even address this third baptism. And I mean, the reasons why can vary, right? I already talked about it. We all probably, even in this room this morning, have all come from so many different backgrounds, right? Some of you are here this morning and maybe you come from a background that just completely ignored it. Like, you just didn't talk about it, like, at all. I remember a family member who, that side of my family, we didn't go to the same church. And I remember bringing up the Holy Spirit and the look on her face was like, what are you talking about? She had not even heard of the Holy Spirit before, hadn't even heard of the context, had never even read in the book of Acts before. That was her experience. And listen, I want to let you know, if that's you this morning, it's totally okay. I just want to challenge you this morning. If Jesus took the time to explain something, we should take the time to acknowledge it. Right? He obviously, like, literally all of Pastor Paul's message last week was talking about everything that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He was taking the time to break this down. And if you come from that camp, no worries, but I just want to challenge you this morning. If he took the time to explain it, why don't we take the time to at least acknowledge it? Maybe that's your step this morning. You just need to acknowledge it. You know what I mean? I'll be honest, some of you may have come from a background where when it came to the Holy Spirit or the things of the Holy Spirit, it was bashed. It was criticized. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it is a thing, right? And I just want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you with all my heart. It is very easy to be a critic in a crowd. It's very easy. But again, if Jesus took the time to explain it, can we just acknowledge it? Can we just do that? Maybe you are like myself and you grew up from a background that completely embraced it. Okay. I think I say this every time I share just because I love it so much. I've been raised at LWC my whole life. This is all I have ever known. And let me tell you something. You may think, well, of course she's going to be preaching about this. She's being biased. Oh, let me explain to you. Because in 2011, I walked into the doors of Northwestern State University and my little bubble got burst real quick. Because I found out that everybody doesn't believe the same things I believe. I found out that everyone isn't taught the same things that I was taught, even though we're reading the same Bible. And you would have thought that would have been like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, that's interesting. You receive it like that. No, it scared me. It did. I said, somebody got to be wrong. And I didn't just assume they were. I literally questioned within myself. I remember calling Pastor Paul as a freshman at Northwestern. And I said, hold on, Pastor Paul, you told me the Holy Spirit was real, but where it say that in the scripture? I'm not kidding. Literally, as I was preparing for this message, I pulled out my Bible from college. I love this Bible so much because it has all my little notes in there. And I saw me searching out for myself. What does the Word of God have to say about the Holy Spirit? Because I'm hearing what this person said and I'm hearing what that person said. But God, what do you say? What do you say? So here's the thing. Out of all of these different backgrounds, I feel like the one thing that we all have in common is that we all probably got a lot of questions. Right? And ain't it something about the church world that when it comes to questions, it can often get shunned? How many of you grew up hearing, like, you're not supposed to question the Lord? Right? It was just me. Okay. Maybe it's a my family thing, right? And can I tell you, I had that mindset for years. You know, you just got to believe what they say. But listen, can I tell you some of my greatest revelations were on the other side of my questions and my doubts? And you know what's so beautiful about revelation that comes straight from the source? With that revelation comes conviction, and nothing can sway me now. Because I'm not believing in the Holy Spirit because Pastor Paul told me. I'm not believing in the Holy Spirit because my friends told me or my mama told me, but because the Holy Spirit revealed himself to me personally, personally. So here's how I want to approach this real quick. I want us to answer some questions about the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, the questions are endless, you guys. Like, I literally had to stop myself because I remember asking questions. Can I tell you I still got questions? I want to be very clear. All right? If you're talking about the most qualified to preach this, it should not be me of you, all right? I still have questions. And so I had so many questions, but I had to narrow it down because we don't have forever. I have a limited amount of time. So I narrowed it down to three questions that I'm praying will really help us see what the scriptures have to say about the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you those three questions just up front, all right? Because these are the ones we're going to go over. Number one, the first question I want us to talk about is it necessary? Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit necessary? See, I love this question because I remember when I was in college and I got involved in this Christian organization and some of our beliefs were different. And I was totally okay with that. I just love the fact that we all love Jesus. But I remember when conversations about the Holy Spirit would come up, they would say to me, well, listen, you know, it was the Holy Spirit who drew me to repentance. I have all the Holy Spirit I need. I don't need that experience. Why do I need that? Why is that necessary? We're going to talk about that. Number two is, who is it for? Who is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? That's the second question we're going to talk about. This has caused so much debate. There are so many people who acknowledge that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is real, but there's a debate on who it is for. And then number three, we're going to talk about, how do I know if I'm filled? I love this question because this is the same question that so many people even ask about salvation. How do I know I'm saved? Right? And a lot of people don't want us to say it, but a lot of people think it. And we're going to talk about, how do I know if I've experienced this baptism of the Holy Spirit? So let's dive into that first question. Number one, is it necessary? And y'all, I hate to do this on the first question. I really do. Because I know you probably just want a cut, dry answer, like a yes or no. But I can't do it on this one, all right? Let me explain. In my opinion, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit necessary? The best way I can answer this is, it depends. Okay, now I need you to follow me. The reason why I say it depends is I believe that it depends on what you're asking if he's necessary for. It's very important, all right? Because I want to be clear this morning, okay? If you're asking me if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary for salvation, my answer would be no. If you're asking me if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is necessary to get to heaven, my answer would be no. Romans 10 states clearly that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we experience salvation, period. There's no way we can get around that in scripture. There's just no way. Now, you may be wondering, so why did you say it depends? Well, I truly believe that the greatest misconception of the Christian faith is the false belief that salvation is the end rather than the beginning. Okay? I don't know if you've noticed this before, but when you got saved and when other people get saved, did you notice that they didn't just magically poof and get to heaven? Did you notice that? That would be cool, right? Like, accept the Lord and then we just sing a worthy of it all, right? Like, that would be amazing. But that wasn't the case, right? Not only did we not magically poof into heaven, but we were here present on earth still, but we now have a whole different purpose. Whole different purpose. I don't know if you experienced it, but your desires begin to change, right? You're no longer living for yourselves. You start living for a higher purpose. I love the way Jesus even talks about it himself in John chapter 14. He says, whoever believes in me when they're saved, he says that they will do the works I've been doing. And then I love this, and they will do even greater things. Can I tell you, salvation is not the end goal. It's just the starting line. It's just the starting line. So when you ask that question with that context, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit necessary? I still would say it depends. It depends on what you're trying to do. Are you just trying to get a one-way ticket into heaven? Or are you trying to bring heaven on earth? Right? Are you just trying to be okay with just, I'm going to just be a disciple? Are you also trying to make other disciples? Right? Because if you get into the greater works that I have done, you're going to realize that there's only so far you're going to be able to get in your own strength, and you're going to need something way more powerful than that. The scripture says, not by power, not by might, but it is by my spirit. Spirit. So eventually you're going to realize, wait a minute, there is only so far I can go. It depends on what I'm trying to do. And I don't want to just preach this at you. I really want to show you this in scripture. Let me show you how this is broken down in scripture, the difference. In John chapter 4, one of my favorite passages of scripture, we find this moment where Jesus is met with a Samaritan woman at the well. And listen, I don't have time to go in details of this story, but it's phenomenal. And Jesus says something to her that is so significant in verse 14. He says this, he says, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them becomes in them a spring of water welling up for eternal life. In this passage, when he said this to this woman, he's referring to salvation. He's literally saying, when you put your trust in me, that you will never feel void again. That he becomes like a spring in you. And every thirst that comes up, if you go to him, he will satisfy that thirst for all eternity. So he says, this is salvation. Now, three chapters later, there's another passage. It seems so similar, but if you don't catch it, you won't realize that there is a little bit different. In John chapter 7, I want to read this scripture. In 7:38, it says, whoever believes in me, so they're saved, as the scripture has said, it doesn't say springs, it says rivers of living water will flow from within them. Verse 39 says, he wants to be very clear what he's talking about here. He's like, I'm not just talking about salvation. He says, by this, he meant the Spirit. He says, whom those who believed in me were later to receive. I don't know if you caught that, but in John chapter 4, he refers salvation to a spring. In John chapter 7, he refers the Spirit to rivers. And even in the natural, we know and we can actually see that there's a big difference between springs and rivers. Matter of fact, when you look up in ancient times when they were building cities, what made a major city was its proximity to a major river. Because if you had access to a river, you now had access to commerce, transportation, to trade. You now had access for all of your agriculture to have a food surplus. You had a natural source of energy that didn't just supply for you and your family, but for a whole city. So what he's saying, listen, is there's a difference. You can be saved, and guess what? He's going to give you everything you need to be satisfied. But listen, when you step into the Spirit, he's not just going to give you enough to be satisfied. He's going to provide things through you that will provide for the masses. So again, it depends. Are you just trying to be a partaker of living water, or you want to be a distributor of living water? Which one are you trying to be? Are you trying to be a river? Are you trying to be a reservoir? You decide. And I can honestly say I've experienced this in my life. Even as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about how I've been raised in church. And can I tell you, I had some moments with the Lord. He satisfied me. He satisfied me. I remember moments that I had as a young girl in my room just crying out to the Lord and him satisfying me. It was everything I needed. I promise you, I needed nothing else but his goodness. But I remember in that season when I was in college and I started discovering what the Spirit of God did, I started to put two and two together. That was the first time I stepped out and I started doing Bible studies. That was the first time I stepped out and I started telling people about Jesus. And I remember 2 weeks ago, I was thinking, man, my personality has changed so much over the years. Like, I used to be so quiet. I used to be so timid. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me. He said, your personality didn't change. I transformed you. I gave you boldness. I changed who you were from the inside out. It wasn't just I grew out of it. He made me a new person when he filled me with his Spirit. And there is so much evidence in the Word. It's the only thing that changed Peter from denying him three times to preaching and over 3,000 coming into the kingdom of God. It changes you. So is it necessary? Depends. Do you know, that's the same question we have to ask ourselves every day. It's like, do I want to live by the Spirit? Is it required? It depends. What kind of day are you trying to have? Are you trying to have divine moments with people? Are you trying to be a vessel? Are you just trying to make it through life and survive? Which one? You know, when I was asked to preach, I had a decision to make. You know, is it necessary for me to lean on the Spirit of God when I preach? Or do I want to just give logic and just teach? Depends. What do I want to happen in this service? Do I want to see people come to Jesus? And do I want to see his power working? Well, I guess I'm going to need him. So is it necessary? You decide. What you trying to do? Man, I can stay on that for a little minute. Let's keep on going. Question number two. Who is it for? I'm going to have to speed through this because my time is running out. But there's a lot of debate in the church world on this question. All right. A couple of answers that I've heard before. And some believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the 120. All right. The 120, just a little context. The first time the Holy Spirit was poured out was on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And even when I say Pentecost, some of you think of just a denomination, but I need you to understand, like, Pentecost in the Bible, it just is representative of 50. That's all it means, 50. 50 days after the Passover feast. And they gathered, and in this moment, as instructed, Jesus told them, wait. Some people believe that the Great Commission is the last thing that Jesus said. No, after he was resurrected, he went back to the disciples and plenty of others, proved that he was resurrected, and he told them to wait for the promise, the gift I want to give you, right? And so they did as he said, and here they are, 120 in the upper room in one accord, and this is what scripture says happens in Acts 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw and what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do. And a lot of people suggest that this moment was reserved exclusively for these 120. And they say that the reason why is because this was the beginning of the early church, and the Holy Spirit wanted to enable them to advance the early church into the kingdom that we see today. And to be honest, that hypothesis, I mean, that sounds pretty good. Like, I get that. Like, that sounds great. The only problem is that scripture completely dismantles that belief. All right. If you keep on reading, I just want to show you this in Acts chapter 8. This is 8 years after the day of Pentecost. So these are not just the 120. Okay. 8 years after this day, there were some new believers in Samaria. I want to read this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So I don't know if you read that, but these were already believers. They were saved. And then when they heard that, they was like, okay, let's go talk to them again. Wonder why. Verse 15, when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Obviously, it wasn't just for the 120. 8 years later, they're hearing people get saved, and they want to tell them about a whole nother experience that they can have as well as being saved. Isn't that significant? Well, it wasn't just one time. Acts chapter 10. These are Gentiles. These are not even just the chosen, all right? Gentiles, they're in Cornelius' house. Check this out. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all of them who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even among the Gentiles. It's like, I didn't even know they could get saved, let alone be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, that was their response to that. Like, what in the world? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. This is 10 years after Pentecost. All right? Still not done. I can keep on going. Acts chapter 19. This is Paul. He's in Ephesus. This is 20 years after the day of Pentecost. 20 years after. All right. This is beyond the 120 now. Okay. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them. So I want to be sure that you got that. It says he found some disciples. It means that they were already saved. They were believers. Right? Okay. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Check out the answer. No, we ain't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. So maybe, again, remember, we all from different backgrounds. Maybe that's you. That's in the Word. That's happened before. It was like, we ain't even heard about this experience. We didn't even know that there was more, right? So Paul asked them, well, what baptism did you receive? John the Baptist, they replied, and he told them that was a baptism of repentance. I get it. You've been saved. Like, this is great. So he told them to believe in the one coming after them, which is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. This is 20 years after the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just for the 120. It is still going on to this day. There's another, and I don't have time, but there's another perspective that they believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. They base the scripture off of 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, when the perfect comes. The problem is that they're believing that the perfect, when you read this, they're believing that that means that the canonized Bible was finalized, right? The problem, and because I agree, the Bible is inherent. It is perfect. It is the only perfect thing on this earth that is the supreme authority. I agree. The problem is that when you read that in context, it's not talking about the canonization of the Bible. It was talking about the second coming of Christ. Matter of fact, it goes on to say when we are face to face. Right? So obviously it wasn't for them, but scripture makes it very clear who is for. Beyond all these positions, if you read, I actually don't have the scripture on here because it just came in my heart, but in Acts 2:39, it says the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. I don't think it gets any more clear than that. Who is it for? It's for any of us who would say, I receive. I receive. Point blank, period. I love in Acts chapter 2, as the prophet Joel spoke, he said, listen, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On all flesh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. It is very clear. Last question. How do I know if I'm filled? How do I know? You're talking about this experience. Like I asked the Lord into my heart. I'm saved. And I've had some moments where everything felt great. And maybe I am filled with the Spirit. Maybe I'm not. How do I know? I have a very simple answer for you. You check your fruit. You check your fruit. Let me explain. In Galatians 5, we read a passage that's called the fruit of the Spirit. Basically, it's saying this is the fruit you will see when you're walking with the Spirit. This is the product of the Spirit. And we know this. Some of y'all know the song. But it says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to say this. There is an issue if you can speak in tongues in church, but you cannot exercise self-control and not gossip when you're with your friends at work. It's an issue. There is an issue. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Can I tell you, I love how it goes on in Galatians, and it literally says those who belong to Jesus Christ have been crucified, who have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. It means my spirit man takes over my flesh. Since we, I love this, live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Basically saying, not only is this another experience, but once we are filled with the Spirit, it has to be our decision to walk with him daily, to be fueled by him daily. Can I tell you that I act different depending on who I'm walking with? I act different depending on who I'm walking with. I didn't realize it till I got married. And Ren is like a walking bodyguard. Do you realize, like, he's huge? And like no one messes with me just because I'm walking with Ren because he's so big, right? What they don't know is he want her to fly. That man is so sweet. Most of the time he'd be smiling. I'm like, how are you intimidating? He'd be like, how you doing? How you doing? But it's something about how big he is that people just like, they know, don't mess. And because of it, I just feel like, man, I can just do whatever I want to. You know what I mean? Like, hey, y'all, like I don't know. It's something about walking with him. You know, I couldn't help but think of this story, and I got to cut it short because it's a hilarious story. Trust me, I will tell you the rest of it if you ask me about it. But I remember we were dating. It was like my first birthday as we were dating. And Ren, you know, he was putting it on thick then. We weren't married, so he was just trying to put all his good cards out there. And he decided to plan this perfect day. And the whole day was filled with so many incredible things. And he wanted to end the day with us going dancing. Because I always told him, I want to go dancing. Because I've never went dancing. I'm not talking about the club, y'all. I ain't trying to twerk or nothing. I'm talking about, like, I don't know, like, slow dance, you know, something sweet, you know what I mean? And so, anyway, he decided to take me to downtown. There's this beautiful area where it's, like, got these colorful lights, and he had this portable speaker. And, I mean, it was so sweet what he was thinking about. The only problem is he just didn't consider we're in downtown Shreveport. Y'all is ratchet. Y'all thinking it. Don't be acting. Y'all know there's a lot going on in downtown Shreveport. And so, again, he gets the speaker set up, and we're about to start dancing. And there's a lot of commotion. You hear all kind of things around you. You hear, I mean, the police sirens. You hear, I mean, people. You hear music. You hear all kind of things. And out of nowhere, we realized we were being watched by this homeless man. And he starts commentating. Like, our whole dance, he was like, "Y'all so cute. Look at y'all. Y'all sweet." And so we're dancing like, "Thank you. Like, this is right, right?" And so he's kind of talking to us, and I'm just like, you know, just still trying to dance and just take in the moment. And again, remember I said there's so much commotion, so many things going on. And I hear some arguing in the distance, but the arguing seemed to get louder and louder and louder, like it was getting closer to us. And eventually I see there's a little couple. There's a girl, a lady she has a bike. She's not on the bike, but she's walking the bike. And I guess it's her boyfriend, and they're arguing. I mean, they arguing so bad. Like, I know their names, because he just told Janice off. He said, "Janice, I can't stand you." And I'm like, "Goodness gracious." Like they are not having it. Okay. So, I mean, they literally keep arguing to where they're at least like 5 feet away from us. They stop. They literally stop and just are arguing in front of us. And we're like, do we say something? Like, we don't know it. We don't know them. We're trying to dance. And the homeless guy, "Y'all need to get on somewhere. They trying to dance. Leave them alone." And I'm like, "Thank you. I'm just so confused. There's a lot going on right now. Like, it's just a lot." And so, I mean, they're arguing, and me and Ren are just keeping on dancing. And out of nowhere, Janice says, "You know what? I'm done with you. I'm about to go talk to my friends." And I'm looking around. It's like, she know the homeless guy. She turns around and she comes walking to me and Ren. I'm like, "We her friends." Oh, snap. How do we get in this? So Janice comes up to us and she is like, "I'm just trying to get my life right. Are you doing this? Are you doing that?" And me and Ren are just like, "Okay." Like, "Yeah." Like, and then out of nowhere, her boyfriend, he starts charging at us. And I'm gonna be honest, when I get scared, I like I just get, like, what's the word? I get, well, you can't move, I lock up. So I'm just sitting there like, but in back of my head, I'm like, but I got ran, right? So she comes charging, and out of nowhere, I think he's about to tackle. I don't know who he's about to tackle. I don't know if he's mad at the friends or he's mad at Janice. He's going to get one of us. But he comes over, and what he actually ended up doing as he charged, he grabbed her bike, and he chalked her bike. So poor bike. This is over with. Like, the bike collapsed. And I'm like, "What just happened?" Ren is like, "I'm going to have to go to jail, because if he hit this woman, I'm going to have to take up for her." And I'm like, "What is going on?" And it was just the weirdest thing. After he chunks the bike, y'all, I kid you not, they make up. They're like, "It's no big deal. It's okay." And then they just walk away. And the homeless guy like, "Thank you goodness they gone." And I'm like, "Ren, let's go home. Like, let's just go home. Like, thank you. That was so sweet." And as we're walking, like, we're just like talking about this moment. We're like, I can't believe that happened. Like, what? And Janice, poor Janice, she went back to him. Why'd she go back to him? Like, we having all these conversations. And I was like, "Ren, were you scared?" And he was like, "Yeah, I was scared." And he was like, "Were you scared?" I was like, "Not, like, I said, I did lock up. Like, I really did, because that's just what I do in those kind of moments. But at the end of the day, the whole time I was thinking, but I'm with Ren." You walk different depending on who you're walking with. Can I tell you, if I would have been in that same situation by myself, bruh, It would have been a whole different story. I would have ran crying somewhere. Like, somebody save me. Like I promise I would have. But because I was with Ren, I walked different. How do you know if you're filled? How are you walking? I'm going to be honest with you. Are you walking in constant patterns of depression? Are you walking in constant patterns of anxiety? The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace. I want y'all to stand up on your feet with me. I'm fully aware, like I said, we come from so many different backgrounds this morning. And some of you are like the scripture we just read with Paul in Ephesus, and they say, I have not even heard of a Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you that if you're wondering, okay, like, how do I make this step? What do I do? Is I want you to know in scripture that the Holy Spirit is referred to as a gift. As a gift. And there is no good for a gift if you don't receive the gift. And not just receive the gift, but open the gift and use the gift. And this morning, I just want to challenge you. If you're hearing this and your heart is just like, I don't know everything about what she's saying, but I know that there's more. I just want to challenge you. Can you step out and say, God, I want that gift. I know I've been saved. I don't question that. Like, Lord, you have done everything. There is a spring in me that he satisfies every thirst. But God, I'm ready to go to a whole nother level. And here's another aspect of him. It's not just what he's going to do through you. It's what he's wanting to do to you, because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He is a friend. He wants intimacy with you. Some of you have been struggling from going from religion to relationship, and it's just because you haven't lived life with the Holy Spirit. And I just believe he has such a gift for you this morning. And I just simply want to say, receive. It's as simple. The scripture tells us that Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Now, I'm going to let you know, it's about to be a journey from there. There's so much I can share with you. But with our time, like I just want you to just pay attention to the stirring in your heart and just step out. But can I tell you, there are some of you who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you haven't experienced that stirring in years or even months. What good is a gift if you no longer use it? Some of us have had the experience, but we have left this gift, this person of the Holy Spirit. We don't even refer to him. We wake up and we say, is it necessary? Nah, it's not necessary. But today, I want to challenge you to make a switch and say, I want a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what they also refer to the Spirit of in Scripture? As the wind. The wind of the Holy Spirit. I love that, because it's a perfect picture that before Christ, we are wandering at sea. Not knowing where we're going, we are stranded. But when we get saved, what happens? That boat comes and we get rescued. But you know what's interesting? If you're in the middle of the sea, in the middle of nowhere, and there's no wind, guess what? You don't move anywhere. And that's the picture I saw. If there's some people in here, you're in the boat, you're saved, but you have been stagnant for years. And I'm just going to let you know, if you want to see some movement happen in your life, allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to come and blow. To come and blow and to fill you afresh, because I just got to let you know there's more.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.